Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening from Fort Lauderdale. This is Nate Klarfeld with Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight, I have author and bon vivant Eric Arvin, who has written so many fun books, I can't even name them all. We're going to go over, talk about a few of them tonight. Eric is the author of The Rest is an Illusion, Subsurdity, Suburbalicious, Simple Men, Woke Up in a Strange Place, and Suburban Nights, another installment of the Jasper Lane series. Good evening, Eric. How are you?
I'm fine, Nate. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. I'm sitting in 61-degree weather overlooking the ocean, so I really can't be too bad, okay? All right. I know, I'm sorry. Okay, Eric, I have first question. All right, here comes.
Yeah.
How much hilarious fun was it writing Suburbanites?
Suburbanites, you know what? It was good to get back into that because I had written the first two back in like 07 and 09. I hadn't touched the characters or the street since, and so it was a lot of fun to get back into it.
Good.
So I had to read over them again though, because you know, you kind of forget some of the little quirks and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's a fun plot. And for those of you that don't know, the Jasper Lane series is a mixture between, it's a mixture between Knott's Landing, Dallas, RuPaul's Drag Race, and for me, listen, any book with Wiccan lesbians is my kind of book.
Yep.
I just love Wiccan lesbians. So,
they're the best kind.
They are. Well, there's many different kinds. Yeah, my daughter and I, my partner's daughter's a lesbian. She's a lipstick lesbian. She's hilarious. We love her. So anyway,
yeah.
We love all lesbians. So
great.
How many friends did you lose or kind of like dig at? Because I know writers, I know a lot of writers, and when they write books like Jasper Lane, which are contemporary comedy, tongue-in-cheek things, how many of them were your friends?
Based in those, on those books?
Yes.
Actually, I really didn't base anybody, any of my friends, or any of the characters on my friends from those books. So those are all completely just out of my head. Actually, the only one that I based on anything was Rick.
Uh-huh.
And he's kind of me, but
yeah.
Other than that.
Uh-huh. Okay, the same level-headed one, right?
Right, exactly. And that's, I mean, like Kathy Bloom, the Grand Dame. I actually kind of based her a little bit on Glenn Close. That's who I had in mind when I was doing that one.
That's great. Because I have had some people tell me that people have recognized them. Of course, you know Greg Hogman from The British Devil, right?
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
Well, his book is so, you know, follows his life very closely. Okay, let's keep going. You can call in with comments for the guest or questions at 805-830-8355 and press 1 to get into the queue. We have a chat room open and people are chatting around. Also, I'm going to do a little plug for Eric. You can get his blog is Eric Arvin, ericarvin.blogspot.com. I think if you click and buy the books through your blog, do you get extra money?
Through Amazon, yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm trying to make money for you here. This is my job.
That's awesome.
All right. so let's go talk about Woke Up in a Strange Place. You could not have thrown two different books into one show together. Woke Up in a Strange Place is literally an afterlife journey of a young man named Joe, who is going through a kind of a mystery odyssey in a strange place. Obviously, it's neither heaven nor hell, meeting guys and old people. What is that? What was the message that you wanted to give with Woke Up in a Strange Place?
Yeah, I well, basically with that book, I mean, it was based on like a vision basically that I had when I was really sick.
Mm-hmm.
I needed some hope, and so I just started writing that, and that was my main, because all these ideas of heaven, you know, they're just so black and white, you know, and I just needed some place that I could actually maybe believe in a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Than everything that's shoved down our throats, and then. I don't know, I just wanted something that had that magical feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't necessarily, you know, all dolled up pretty and lollipops and, you know.
Oh yeah.
Joe, yeah, he goes through some crap in that, you know.
Yeah,
in the afterlife. So.
I'm going to read it to you if I may. I always ask permission from a writer before I read from his novels or books, because it's their work, not mine. So can I do that? Can I read my... He's speaking to one of his guides, Baker, on his odyssey in this afterlife. And the quote is, start, "I had to learn to forgive. Like everybody," he finally said. There was something deeper in Baker's glance, as if there was something more he wanted to tell Joe, but he couldn't summon the courage yet. Forgive who? Well, Baker sighed, coming closer to Joe, "I had to forgive my daddy for being a drunk. I had to forgive my mama for never standing up to him. And I had to forgive myself." He paused and brought a hand up to massage Joe's shoulders. "I had to forgive myself for letting certain things slip away, you know. Everything slips away, though, doesn't it? There's no keeping anything, as hard as we try. So what's to forgive? Some things do slip away, yes. Some things can't be helped, but they are never truly lost. We find them again." Wow. Woo-hoo. Good stuff.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
So, your spiritual journey. Do you believe in an afterlife?
I don't not believe in it. You know, I how can you know? You know, that's the thing. I believe there's got to be something else. I just don't know what.
Right.
I don't know what it is.
Uh huh.
I'm not prepared to call it God with a capital G.
No. We don't want to do that. So tell us about, now that you've said the word God, I made you say it first. Tell us about your religious upbringing.
I was raised a Jehovah's Witness. And, yeah, it's terrifying for a little kid.
Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. It's just like the door-to-door thing.
Yes,
don't
yes.
think those kids like doing that, because that is absolutely the worst thing in the world. But, yeah, and plus, you know, you don't get to celebrate any birthdays or Halloween
right.
and stuff. But, yeah, it was not a great experience for me.
And is your family still involved in the Jehovah's Witnesses?
I have a brother who is, but I don't know, like, the rest of my family isn't, no.
They slipped away. So did you go on these trips up and down the neighborhood?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah,
And then, you know, I got old enough and decided I've had it, so I just decided not to do it anymore.
What is the Jehovah, what is, if you remember, what are the Jehovah, what do they think of heaven or hell, the Jehovah's Witnesses?
Heaven is only supposed to be for like 144,000 selected people.
Okay.
And everybody else spends life on a paradise earth.
Gotcha.
Or eternity.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, but it's a lot more complicated than that, but that's the gist.
That's right. I was raised Orthodox Jewish, so I mine's even more complicated, but I'm a recovering Jew, so I'm okay.
That's the thing. I mean, anybody who's raised with like a really strict religion, you've got to be recovering. There's no way you can.
No. Private school, the whole bit. You know, on the road to being a rabbi, and you know, here, you know, and then
wow.
And then I discovered I was gay. Could that be crazier? But no, that's enough. Somebody's going to interview me soon. So, okay, what writers? Growing up or in the past few years have influenced your work? Everybody has them.
James Purdy is one that
uh-huh.
blew me away. He died like a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
but his books, they're very kind of they're very dark, and they're still on the fringe. Like, a lot of people won't touch them.
Uh-huh.
But I loved his books. Like, he's the most important one for my writing.
It's pretty. Okay. And if you could go to brunch or go out dancing with any writer alive or dead, any writer in the world alive or dead, who would it be?
T.J. Klune.
And you're what a sweetheart.
I know. Well, hey, you know, he's
that's cute. Okay.
Anyone else? I'd say James Purdy again.
Purdy
just
again.
Because I wanted to. I'd like to pick his brain.
Huh?
I mean, not now because he's like dead. But
it's alive or dead. You know, you wrote this fantasy book where people are alive in different forms. I can ask you, you know, what. So what authors are you reading right now?
Let's see. Right now I am reading, I can't remember the author's name because the book's, The Tiger's Wife is the name of the book.
Okay. That's cool. I think I've seen that book. Yeah, that was on my, I think that might even be on my partner's nightstand. We have nightstands full of books. I'm sure you do too.
Oh yeah. It's ridiculous. There's no way I want to get to them all before I die.
I know. Well, my life is even worse, and I'm going to do another plug here. Eric's books are available at ericarvin.blogspot.com, and you can order on Amazon through there, and there are many. There's the Jasper Lane series and some other marvelous ones. The two we're talking about tonight is Woke Up in a Strange Place and Suburbanites. Okay, we're going to go back to Suburbanites because somebody asked a question here earlier. Okay, Suburbanites. Do you want to live on Jasper Lane?
Me personally?
Sure.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah.
there's a lot going on.
Yeah. I don't know if I've shared this with some of my listeners before. I've got a lot of my old listeners in the room here tonight. I live in the gay ghetto in Fort Lauderdale. I can go days without seeing a straight person or so-called straight person. And it's a choice. And it's there have been several books written about Wilton Manors, and it's been mentioned in a lot of books like Jasper Lane. And we have, you know, straight and gays that live together, but they're kind of strange people. I know you chose that, but is that really going to be the future? Is that really how we're going to be living in these little enclaves? Or are we going to...
I don't know. I sociologically speaking, we stick to one group of people, I think, or at least I do.
Uh-huh.
Or one type of people, you know. So I mean, you gather up with the people that are most, you know, most share your interests and
right.
Likes and everything. So I think with like if those people in Jasper Lane, I'd fit in well with them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, you know, I don't think my mom would. So.
Right. Yeah, I've had my mom in Wilton Manors or in the gay part of Fort Lauderdale, and I've also had, you know, some of my other relatives. My brother's coming tomorrow for dinner, and my son's been here. I have a son. And all of them think it's just the strangest place. I said, no, you haven't seen West Hollywood. You know, you haven't seen Chelsea because this is kind of a completely different world. But, yeah, it is. It is fun. Were you making – I know obviously you were making fun of the suburbs, and we won't even get started with that. But what are you working on now, Eric?
I am working on quite a few things, actually. I'm working on a spec fiction epic called Terms We Have for Dreaming.
Okay.
And then I've actually got a erotic comic coming out.
Graphic?
A graphic, and it's going to be illustrated by Absolute Blue, who's this amazing artist.
Oh, great.
His characters look like a Disney film.
Uh-huh.
Really filthy. I don't know if you read my Kid Christmas books.
Yeah,
that novella. Uh-huh. He always did that.
Right.
But,
great.
And then I'm doing a couple of anthologies, and I know it's going to be a busy year for me.
It sounds like it. Oh my God, you're just going crazy. we talked a few minutes ago before the show started. I have been involved in gay literature for about 12 years through the Stonewall National Museum and Archives here in Fort Lauderdale, doing about 10 years of in-person author interviews. And now the last 2 years went online because it's so much more fun. I don't have to, I can do this in my underwear. And we're talking about different phases of gay literature or just literature now. The first part of gay literature is probably, you know, of course, pre-Stonewall, you know, the angst, everything had to end in a suicide. And then there was Stonewall and the uprising and the coming out. And then we were hit with the AIDS plague and everything ended with people dying and hope and all these other things. And now we're like in phase four, thank God, where we're having fun with novels. People aren't dying in the end. Well, some people are dying, but they deserve it. No, I'm just kidding. But I can't believe I said that. But you know, you are a writer who is writing almost mainstream stuff, and a couple of characters just happen to be gay. And this last phase. How do you feel about that?
I really like it, actually. Because, I mean, it feels more, I feel included. I mean, it's so inclusive now, you know, or it's getting there anyway.
Inclusive. It's very inclusive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I because, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No.
No, I think because, I as I said, I work with publishers, Allison, and I've done a few Dream Spinner and some of the other publishers that are no longer in business. We're going to talk about that in the last section of this, is that, you know, there has been a huge uptick in your type of work where it's very inclusionary. It's very fun. Sometimes it's very sad, but it's always, you know, almost mainstream. I mean, they even say that, especially in your, and don't yell at me for calling it a bromance novel, okay? I'm going to talk to you about a few things in the chat room in a minute, but yeah, it really, a lot of straight women buy gay porn and soft gay porn. You knew that, right?
Oh, right. Yeah. That's, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
When
all
I
right.
found that out, though, I was like, wow, women are a huge audience.
Straight women are a huge audience for. In fact, they're the ones who got straight porn, video porn, to put in better looking men. So that, because I've also, as you know, this is a show about book, film, and media talk, and I have had two porn owners of porn sites, and I've interviewed them, and they've told me that they get straight women on there all the time. Okay, so here we go. Questions from the chat room. In prisons. Thanks, TJ. I'm sorry, I was supposed to type that. I didn't type that. Okay, Eric, here we go. Eric, you are a full-time writer. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. There are more and more of you nowadays because people are making money in different ways. But we'll talk about that in a second. I've got another question from Mark and Debbie. They want to know why your book isn't in high school libraries and community libraries. And TJ said, and why isn't it in prisons?
God.
You know how to get.
You know what? I've been trying to get hold of libraries to see if they you know, shelf my books. It's hard to get them interested. Uh-huh. Actually, I think it might have to do with my covers, but I don't know.
Well, no, not well. I don't think so because I've seen other things. Let me give you a little advice right in here. Here, you know, I can't believe I'm doing this. The American Library Association, ALA.org, has a GLBT roundtable. You can contact them through ALA.org, AmericanLibraryAssociation.org. Look for the LGBT roundtable. Have a person to get a hold of. You get your book reviewed by them. They make it a recommendation, and you are in. You're on a weekly or a monthly electronic newsletter that goes out to every high school librarian in the country.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So .org and look for LGBT roundtable. So I know them, and they're great people. We are the Stonewall National Museum and Archives is the nation's only gay and lesbian anything, any gay and lesbian anything, but it's the only gay and lesbian library that is actually housed in a public library. We have a deal that they house the library, we pay for everything in there, and they pay our rent. But by doing that, we have our young adult section is approved by the American Library Association GLBT Roundtable. And once they say it's okay, we can put it up in our youth section or young adult section under 21. So it's kind of fun. Yeah, it does exist.
Yeah.
Adults don't even know this exists. So we've all learned something new tonight. Okay, we're going to start talking about the new publishing world. For listeners out there, the old publishing world was you had to have an agent, an editor, a publisher, a distributor, a brick and mortar bookstore that we would all go to, either public, or either a little one or a giant one. We know Borders, it's gone. Most of us have already either bought or seen or gotten emotionally involved with a Kindle, like me. And we also have something called self-publishing, which used to be looked very much down on, and now some of our greatest writers, both in the straight, gay, and mystery, have moved to self-publishing. Just spoke to Lev Raphael, who's on his 23rd book, and he is strictly going to digital self-publishing. He has abandoned his Fifth Avenue publisher. Talk to me a little bit about Dream Spinner Press.
Dream Spinners, I mean, they were the first publisher actually take me on. Because, I mean, my first two books were self-published. This was way back in 2006. I was looking for someone to publish the rest of Delusion. And that was very difficult because nobody wanted, you know, it's just a little different. And I got hold of Rick Reed, who's another fantastic gay writer. And he you know, pointed me toward this self-published publisher.
Right.
And from then on, I got hold of Dream Spinner. I sent him a story. They were awesome. They really have. They've been just fantastic.
Great.
And I'm moving on to another smaller press. Just starting it called Empire Press.
Okay, cool. Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm going to clue in. Eric knows this, but I'm going to clue in the rest of the listeners. We've got a whole lot of listeners tonight. Eric, you're a very popular boy. It could be because your handsome face just drew them in. You buy a $25 book at Borders 10 years ago, the author would probably get less than $2.30. It's about an 8.75% return on the total thing. The publisher, it's a 60-40 split between the publisher and the the bookstore. But by the time the editor, promotions, marketing took their money. Today, any of you, all 39 people in the chat room, and I can't, oh God, we've got a lot of people listening. All of you could get on Amazon.com, get the formatting, publish a book, pick out a cover, be on digital publishing in less than an hour, sell it for $5.99, and you will keep 75% about twice as much as somebody who spent $25 and yourself for $5.99. It's an incredible world we're in. Have you seen some of this? Are you interested in going to all digital?
No, I'm actually kind of old fashioned that way. I like having a book in my hand. I don't even have a Kindle.
Okay.
But I imagine I will eventually go there. Because it's easier to take with you on the plane or when you're traveling.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm still basically right now. I still got my books.
Yeah, you know, I'm a book lover. I love the book. I love the smell.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I know I'm one of those bookophiles, obviously, from spending all the time in the library. However, from what I've heard from, some of the big names in publishing, it's on a downward spiral, unfortunately.
Right.
it's amazing. I don't know, we can talk about it forever and ever. I did exactly what you just said, getting on a plane. I said I'd never get a Kindle. My partner and I went to Russia 3 years ago, and we were limited with our luggage, and I had 20 books I wanted to take along because it was a long trip. Well, that wasn't going to work. So we bought Kindles for each other, or, you know, got Kindles and put all our books on there. And, oh, my God, after an hour with a Kindle, I was totally hooked. I learned how to highlight. I learned how to post. I've got the now where if I like a quote, listen, tell me that this isn't ADD instant gratification. If I like a quote from a book that's actually on the Kindle format, I can highlight it, tap two buttons, and it's posted to Facebook. Quote.
I'm really tempted to get one, but
yeah, and you can see what other people.
I'm a total late bloomer.
Well, you know, I'm 62, and I'm running 2 iMacs right now, and I have my Kindle, my iPad, my iPhone in front of me, and they're all running. So it's to do this interview by myself with running a board and talking to 37 people at the same time. You haven't even noticed that I've been talking to them. But yes, Madison Parker in the chat room says, yes, with a Kindle Fire, you can, when you put that in there, you can see a whole community of writers. And you, the author, can build a community of writers through the Kindle by having these postings, reading the postings, and then responding to the postings. So you're actually in a conversation with your readers every day.
Hmm.
I know. Isn't that crazy? All right, Christy Thomas from the chat room is asking, Christy, is it okay if I use your name? How many books does Eric write in a year? That's right. How many books do you write a year? Not everything that's published, but how many do you write? That's the question.
Let's see. For the past couple of years, I've written 2 per year. So,
okay, that's all.
It takes me around 4 or 5 months to actually write a book. I know a lot of people write a lot faster than that. But.
No, that's quick. That's very quick. Eric, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I want to get to the last questions. All right, the first of the last questions is, what would you tell a young, wet behind the ears, incredibly cute little writer that walked up to you at one of these meetings and said, Mr. Arvin, I love your books. How do I become a writer?
Oh, my gosh. I'm terrible with advice. I would just, you know, I have no idea. I don't even know how I did it.
Okay.
Just
the more you do this, the more that they're going to ask that, because I've been there at over a couple hundred of these book discussions, and that's one of the first questions that people ask.
Yeah.
Did anyone give you advice?
Not really. I can't think of anything right off the top of my head.
Okay.
Anyone said to me that was
that
led me in a particular way.
Mm-hmm. Mark,
of course, that could just be, I'm really stubborn. So,
Mark in the chat room, and Mark and David in the chat room said, write, just start writing. Just start writing. Amazing. Okay. All right. I have one more of my silly last questions, and that is always the most interesting question. What's on your iPod right now? Don't tell me you don't have an iPod.
I don't have an iPod.
Like the only person I know that's younger than me without an iPod. Okay. So
I have a lot of music.
What's your favorite music?
Oh gosh. Nico Case, Amy Lou Harris, Amy Mann, Richard Schindel. My taste is pretty eclectic. Tracy Chapman fools me.
Great. Eric, somebody wants to know how old you are. Are you giving that away?
I'm 37.
He's 37. Dave, it is exactly 10 seconds away. I'm going to have to say goodnight.
All right. This has been fun.
Fastest 30 seconds, 30 minutes. Thank you, Eric. Good night from Fort Lauderdale.
Thanks, Nate.
Night.